Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you. We ought to recognize who that is at some point in time, but I don't know that I know. Paya and Nalu are out of town unexpectedly, and so Stephanie's running the PowerPoint for right now, and we'll make our way through this. But prayers for them, they're traveling. They texted me from Utah. Here's the joke for the morning. You gotta pay attention now. There's this town, and it has a monastic order of some sort. And the friars decide to open a flower shop. So they open this little flower shop. And it's wonderful and it's delightful, but it's competing with the other flower shops in town, which coincidentally are all run by the mob. So the mob says, we can't have these friars competing with us in this flower shop. So they try and scare them away, and the friars are they're very calm about everything, and they just persist with their flower shop. And finally, one of the old dons says, I know how to handle this. He says, we'll send in one of our muscle men. He says, oh, Hugh McGrady, we'll send in Hugh McGrady. If he can't scare him off, nobody can. So they send Hugh McGrady to visit the friars. Sure enough, the next day, closed, going out of business, place is gone. So they're gathering with all of them together, and they said, well, we don't understand how Hugh is able to accomplish this task that no one else could do. And Hugh, and only Hugh, can prevent florist friars. You have to work a long time to get to the tail end on that. Grace and peace to all of you, and we welcome you. Note that the office is closed on Thursday. That's not typical for us, but she and Nalu and everyone are out of town. Mark Doctor, you might know him, is going to be leading singing with us. And we're grateful for Melba, who will be accompanying with the piano. I do not know of other things by way of schedule on the bulletin. Anybody else know of anything? Stephanie is going to, Michael, do you have a microphone to give to Miss Stephanie? She's going to come down front here. Or come down a little ways, come down the aisle some so people can see you a little more easily without twisting our necks off.
You don't want to do that?
Stephanie is our head of our Christian education department.
Sure.
So.
All right, so Vacation Bible School is coming up in 2 weeks. It's July 11th through the 15th. So if you are interested in helping out with that, please let me know. I do need all hands on deck for that. Right now it's Colin, Holly, and I. So if you can help, please do. I also have a list of items that we will need for donations if you are able to make donations for snack items. So just come and see me. And again, it's July 11th through the 15th, and it's from 9:30 to 12:30. So.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Stephanie. Thank you.
Yes.
VBS ongoing. So. The other thing I might mention to you, I have good news and bad news. You notice it's cooler in here? That's God's doing. The air conditioner is still not fixed. Those back rows are warmer than the ones up front. I've noticed that as I walk down the aisle. So if you're feeling a little warm and just move, I know that there's no way in the world I'm going to get anybody to change their seats. So I just thought I'd throw that out there to tease you. What else do we need to know by way of announcements and things, preparation for this upcoming week and in our time together? If not, stand if you will, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship. Call to worship, let's read responsively. Are you ready? We have been blessed by the eternal God who has been faithful to us. Lord, guide us to be thankful disciples who remain faithful. We celebrate Christ, the master teacher, the one who shows us hospitality and generosity. As redeemed Christians, we will remain faithful to Christ. God has empowered us with the Holy Spirit by being our comforter and guide, our unfailing source of strength. As Spirit-filled stewards, we will remain faithful to Christ. Our opening hymn, Mark will lead us. Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399. New Testament lesson is from Galatians. This is chapter 5. If you're following in your pew Bible, page 179. Chapter 5, verses 1, and then jumping to 13. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Verse 22, by contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Amen. Our prayer list on the back of your bulletin is relatively correct. I received news that Don and Jeanette Boyle both have COVID. Don was experiencing a fever, a mild fever, 100.6, he said, I think. And he said Jeanette's symptoms were relatively mild. But it is among us. The good news is that it is not severe and it is not life-threatening. So we give thanks. God is good. All the time. Monroe Mathias, the news I hear from Monica, they are so busy trying to keep up with everything going on. And so I am only able to connect with her via text. But she said Monroe is doing better He's recovering and slowly gaining his awareness back. So it will take time. And of course, he will have to have some time as he recuperates from that. But at 90 some years of age, doing very well. And we are very, very grateful for him. I do not have any other news on any of the others that we have listed as our parishioners in hospital or care. Do any of you have news on those? Okay. Are there other concerns? We continue to lift war and those impacted and debilitated by those wars. We want to be aware of those. We want to be aware of countries where they are not nearly as fortunate as we are, and we are grateful. And we continue to focus on our mission. Debbie continues to guide us and inspire us to be about participating in ways that God has given us ability. Are there other concerns that you would lift this morning? New things that you are aware of that we need to contemplate. By way of birthdays, this coming Tuesday, Siociana and Vili Maconi will be celebrating 19 years together. On Thursday, I have down here that Debbie Gunther's having a birthday, but it says that she'll be 0 years old, which means we don't know how many years that is. Is that still a top secret number, Miss Debbie Gunther? Or? 64. All right. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Well, I'm 64.
Next year, it'll be a speed limit. So there you go. I have down here that Mark and Ellen Doctor are celebrating an anniversary on Thursday. How many years?
21. We are finally legal.
21, you are finally legal? Oh, I won't go any further than that. All right. And on Sunday, Tom and Don Larson celebrating an anniversary. How many years is this, guys? 45. They got you beat, Mark and Ellen. Congratulations to all of you. Celebrations. So those are the only announcements that I have for by way of celebrations. Any of you have others that you'd like to lift that you really should be aware of? All right. I don't see any. Let's turn to our unison prayer as you find it printed in your worship bulletin. Lord God, hear our prayer. Oh God, we resolve to put you first in our lives. We recognize that you have blessed us with all that we have and all that we are. As your stewards, we resolve to sacrifice when necessary, but also always to do so out of a spirit of sincere love, just as your Son Jesus did for us. We recognize that being a good disciple is nothing more than being truly Christian. Dear God, we resolve to be generous with our time, talent, and treasure. We know there will be times when we will fail to be good stewards, but we pledge to keep on trying. We will confidently live each day with a spirit of true peace and joy, and knowing that we are doing your will. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord God, too infrequently we pause and simply give you our thanks. Too infrequently the world around us is too busy. Too often we are celebrating, enjoying, and forget that you are with us at all times and all places. It is only in times of trials and tribulation that we seem to turn to you and say, come, save us from this. And yet it is not the Garden of Eden. This is the world in which we live. And the blessing is that you are with us through those trials and tribulations. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for the blessing of your Spirit among us, the Spirit that is with us when we're struggling, when we are afraid, and the dark night of the soul and the sleepless moments and the fearful moments. But you are also there, Lord, in the moments of celebration, the birthdays and the flowers, and the gentle breeze that comes to waft across us, and people that we meet and find beauty and grace, in our ability to reach out beyond ourselves with beauty and grace and joy. Lord, you are with us at all times and all places. We pause too infrequently, not acknowledging your presence and your gifts to us, our homes, our lives, living in the free country of the United States, living in a place with good medicine, with food, clothes on our backs and roofs over our head. Lord, too often we see only those trials and struggles and fail to appreciate how blessed we are. Help us, Lord, to recognize our blessedness and to share that blessedness with those less fortunate as you guide us in all times and all places to reach out and love one another. Lord, hear us as we gather with all of our brothers, different nationalities, different nations, different languages, different people of color, different people of all natures, gathered together in Christ, and praying as Christ taught us the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank you for your offerings and for your gifts and graces. We continue to be a viable church. There are a few of us here this morning, but it is a celebration of summer, I hope, more than anything else. We come and gather in Christ, and we are grateful. Let's turn to our scripture. This is from the Gospel of Luke. If you are capable and comfortable standing, I ask that you do so as we read from the 9th chapter. Ellen, if you would unplug that HDMI device and then plug it back in, I think it will recenter the screen. Thank you, thank you. Let us hear the word. John said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, Do not stop him, for whoever is not against us is for us. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to them, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So while you're standing, grab your faith, we sing, and we will be singing Together We Serve, which is found on page 2175, or number 2175. Today, to serve, unite.
I'm going to play with the scriptures, and then I'm going to take them kind of in reverse order. This is out of the gospel lesson. You recall that the man said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." That seems reasonable. He's going to follow Jesus, but let him go take care of his papa first. It seemed like a compassionate thing to do. But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Seems contradictory as we understand Jesus, but we have to understand something about the Jewish tradition. This man, his father, may have been quite well, quite healthy. And the rule in the Jewish society would be to honor your mother and father and stay with them and support them and live with them. And then all of the traditions that go around when his father had passed. So there was a huge obligation from his Jewish tradition. And Jesus is referring to the Jews and their following, "Let the dead bury their own dead." So it is a challenge to him, and saying, although this being Jewish was a complete way of life, following Jesus' discipleship means putting that before all other things. The Jewish people had very high boundaries, and that was important, and it helped establish them and keep them during a period of time when they were scattered. They were in diaspora around the Mediterranean. They had no place that was home, but their rules and their rigorous ways of doing things helped them maintain their order and their identity. It was a complete way of life. You ate special foods, you wore special clothes, you prayed at specific times, you fasted at specific times. All of those rules and all of those boundaries organized your lives. And those high boundaries, and there's nothing wrong with high boundaries. They were necessary at a point in time. I have a grandson you've heard about, Ryer. And my daughter, Sarah, is, if nothing, compulsive, obsessive. So she has been she was ready for his birth probably years before they even began to conceive. And their house was, of course, childproofed with the very best ways of being childproof. If Ryer came to my home, we would have to chain him to something in the middle of a room because there's nothing in my house that is childproof today. I'm just not prepared for that. Are you prepared for that? When I was a young kiddo, my dad built onto our house. And he had power tools and he had all the things to do all that work. We are living in rural Colorado, Western Slope, Parachute, which was Grand Valley then. Had a farm, we had a barn, we had cows, we had horses, we had hay fields, we had all of these things. And so there were rules. My brother and I were grade school and younger. And one of the rules is don't play with matches. Don't play with matches. You can understand how deadly that would be with a barn, with haystacks with fields. I am sometimes astonished that, as I think back about our history, about kerosene lanterns and how more people, how they were able to survive. They must have been very vigilant with their children, is all I can imagine. But such dangerous things. And so one of the rules that was drilled into, they must have known me pretty well. They said, don't play with matches, very seriously to me. So it was one day that I discovered my brother had gotten a whole box of wooden matches and it had lined them up in the dirt and gotten them close enough so that when you light one, it would light the next one, then it'd light the next one. And he had made these decorations in the dirt with the matches. I was absolutely freaked out. I ran to my parents. I thought it was the end of the world. My brother was playing with matches. Well, I didn't see what happened as they engaged him. They did that separate from me. But he survived the event, which startled me immensely. I thought for sure it was the end of the world for him. But it was years later when we were at his house in Evergreen. He and his children were there and my children and I. He was the one lighting all the firecrackers. And I thought, well, now it's okay for him to play with matches. This is something about how it is at different points in our lives. We're able to do some things and not at other times. It is a growth. And Jesus is moving us beyond that time of living in a house that is childproof, that with battlements built around it. That's where the title of my sermon came from. We have walls to keep out dangerous things and to keep us in a safe condition. And so those rules and those barriers and those walls have to come down. And that's what Jesus is saying. The second point, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's an odd statement. Here's a young man who is willing to set aside his life and follow him, to become one of the disciples, to dedicate his life. It seems like a worthy goal. Jesus does not seem at all encouraging. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is that being a part of the followers of Jesus might become being part of a tribe. Becoming part of a tribe. Do you know what being part of a tribe means? Being part of a tribe might mean, for example, trying to think of something that's not right in the central in the spotlight right now. If you might belong to the group of people that believe very, very seriously that toilet paper on a roll has to come off the front. The correct way for toilet paper is that you can brush your hand down it and it will roll and the toilet paper will unspool in that direction. Some people put it on the other way around. They're not in the tribe. They are just wrong. They're absolutely, there's no way that you should ever load the toilet paper backwards. You understand, you either belong to the tribe or you don't. A gal came up to me and she said, do you have cats? She puts her toilet paper on facing in. So all of a sudden the tribe and its purpose and all that's another story. But we belong to tribes. We belong to tribes around guns, around health, around nationality, around language. We belong to tribes about politics. And some of those tribes are growing stronger with higher boundaries and with greater division in our world. And there's a danger, and we heard some of that in when we hear some of these others who are preaching in Jesus' name. And the disciples, they're part of the tribe, and this other person isn't. They should make this person stop. And what does Jesus say to them? Whoever is not against us is for us. He breaks down the walls of the tribe all of a sudden, and the tribe isn't simply the disciples. One of the things that defines them has evaporated. There are no tribes that are acceptable if we are disciples. We are disciples first and foremost and centrally. So this man who was going to follow Jesus, there's a danger to becoming one of the disciples in that tribe. He can already feel how some of them are pretty exclusive, ruling out others who aren't exactly with them. But the second thing is a little bit of foreshadowing. The tribe, the disciples, all of the following is about to be broken up, isn't it? Jesus is no longer going to become the leader, no longer going to be able to lead them in person because he is traveling to Jerusalem. He's about to depart from the group, and the group itself, whose identity and tribal nature has been centered around following and being the one who listens to the master teacher, all of that following will now change. The disciples must have struggled with that hugely. After Jesus' death, what do we do now? No longer are they listening and learning, but now they have to go out into the world and offer what they've learned and teach and model and be those disciples. It's not going to be easy going out into the world. It's not going to be easy going out there and knowing what's right and what's wrong. They ask question after question of Jesus, and he tries to give them answers and directions. We all struggle with that. What's the right thing to do? I shouldn't say that. I can't speak for you, but I know I struggle for a lot of things. What's the right way to be in this situation? What's the right way to be about, opinion-wise, in something that's controversial? There was a place and time when gambling was absolutely forbidden. There was a place and time when music in the church was not allowed. There was a time when card playing in the church was not allowed. And all of those things, we begin to ask what's right and what's wrong and what isn't. We are not alone, although Jesus has departed and been able. We can't just say, Lord, is it okay to play cards in church? Is it okay to serve devil food cake at a church luncheon? That's a joke. How do we have those questions answered? How do we resolve difficult things? We are not alone. John Wesley said we have reason, we have experience, we have scripture, and we have tradition. There is a danger that we can become a tribe that is centered around tradition, and we hold on to what always was without being able to see that Christ's ministry in the world continues to evolve daily and grow and lead us and lead others. So how are we to be? The last piece of the piece that Jesus said as he was gathering is, on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Jesus, who did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? You're either with our tribe or you're out and you're totally unworthy. You're to be consumed by fire. They were already locked into that tribe. Do you understand what had happened? You're with us or you're against us. And that's when he responded to them. No, this isn't how it works. All the world is our tribe. They can be there. They can not accept us. But if they're not against us, they're for us. So tribalism, that's really the core of what my sermon is about. As we fall back into our tribes, as we fall back into our groups that we're comfortable with, and where, if you are a part of the tribe, you all have to agree together. And all of you have to agree with all the points of the tribe. And you become constricted, and you become owned by the tribe. There is no tribe that we can acknowledge if Christ is leading us first and foremost. All those others, we might have opinions, we might gather with groups, we might even have people with whom we share common ideals. But Jesus and our allegiance and our discipleship belong there first. Is that what Paul was talking about in Galatians? If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. It is that tribal nature. Our annual conference was 2 weeks ago, kind of fitting in there and all of that, and the theme was at this table. And at this table, referring, of course, to Christ's table, are all people of different tribes, but those tribes must be left and the Christ table must be first. It's not an easy journey. Jesus never said it would be. But he is with us in the journey. Amen? Amen. Mark, would you lead us in singing?
So, if you feel like it, stand up, turn to page 369, and we will sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture numbers on my side, angels descending bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, I am my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen, amen. Thank you, and blessings to you as we begin our week with this beautiful Sunday. It is a beautiful day. God's going to water it a little later today. I hope there's a little bit of lightning and thunder. Celebrations and praise for God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
Go from here in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being blessed and assured of our salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen?